Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Well, my fingers are bleeding, and my skin is raw, and probably every Jewish woman around the world is suffering from the same problem right now. As we clean for the Passover holiday, scrubbing and scrubbing to get out every bit of chametz or leavened foods or residue or whatever it is, trying to make our kitchen sparkling. You know, the rest of my house is pretty much done. Now it's just finishing off the kitchen. But I'm here at the mic taking a break. See, work for me right now is actually a break. And for so many other men and women who are cleaning for Pesach, I shouldn't be so sexist and say men clean for Pesach as well. All right, we have a very interesting show for you today. We're going to be talking about something very interesting. Did you know that Las Vegas, Sin City, you know what goes on in Las Vegas, stays in Las Vegas? And the gambling state of Nevada has Noah hides in it, or righteous Gentiles, righteous people living there. We're going to take a peek into the Sin City state tonight on the show, and we're going to see what's going on there with their righteous Gentiles who live there and follow the seven laws of Noah. Remember our father Noah from Noah and the Ark? He's all of our father. We all stem from Noah. So we're going to have more about that later. Plus, we're going to be speaking about the Jewish Voice for Peace. It's a left-wing flavored group that will bring anything but peace, sadly. And we're going to be speaking with Paul Miller from the Chaim Solomon Center. He's going to be filling us in on that as well. And in the last part of the show, it's open. Anything you want to talk about, call in. We'll just breach any topic you want. If you have a nice Passover story, feel free to call in and share that with us as well. Whatever you want. It's Passover holiday soon, so Vadai, or of course we can speak about that as well. So if you have a nice, funny story about Passover, or something even dramatic or something meaningful that you want to share, or any other topic that's going on in the news, we can talk about that as well. So I want to also give my condolences to those in St. Petersburg in Russia who were killed or hurt in the terror attack that they had there today. Horrible, horrible, horrible. I mean, I don't think anybody can identify with terror victims like Israelis can. Anyway, we have a very interesting and good show coming up, so don't go anywhere. Join me in the chat room. It's the orange button on our website.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Jewish people always want peace, but the Jewish Voice for Peace group is not going to bring us that. As we say, peace now and war tomorrow. That's what's going to happen with these leftist groups. And here to tell us more about this Jewish Voice for Peace, we have joining us Paul Miller. He's the president of the Chaim Solomon Center. It's a news and public policy group. You can follow him on Twitter at Paulie's Point, and you can visit their website at solomoncenter.org. Shalom, Paul Miller.
Shalom, how are you?
I'm doing okay, thank the good Lord. My fingers are raw and bleeding in a couple of places from cleaning and scrubbing, but I'll survive it. All right, so Jewish Voice for Peace. You know, it sounds like the radio station. That's what it reminds me of, but it's anything but. Go ahead.
That's so true. That is so true. As my friend Rabbi Jonathan Ginsburg said last night, is that there's nothing peaceful about Jewish Voice for Peace. And if they really wanted peace, they'd stop lying. For those who don't know who they are, they're basically a hardcore left-wing progressive advocacy group. They basically make J Street look like a great Zionist organization. That's how pathetic these people are.
Yeah.
And honestly, at their events, while obviously there's a ton of liberal far-left Jews, they have a lot of the whole, they got a lot of folks from other progressive groups. It's the whole, they got Black Lives Matters there. They'll have various left-wing women's groups and political organizations. It's an intersectionality that you've been hearing about is defined by them. And making matters worse for these folks is the fact that they just had their convention in Chicago at the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place, a huge hotel. And one of their honored speakers was convicted terrorist killer Rasmea O'Day, who, through what we all know in our own Israel history, was the mastermind of the 1969 supermarket bombing that left two Israeli students dead. And this is who they are honoring. And it's beyond disgusting. A couple things to note, and I don't know if we had a chance to talk about this last time I was on, but the Israel Education Group Stand With Us wanted to hold an event, a memorial for her victims at the hotel while she was going to be speaking. And the hotel claimed that, we have to get their permission to do so. So, I didn't see what the contract said. And, of course, that was denied. That didn't stop our friends from Stand With Us. They rented a room, a suite. And last night, 40 of us, I was the only journalist admitted, we had this memorial for Edward Jaffe and Leon Connor, who were her victims. And literally, while she spoke, we prayed for them, and it was a really beautiful service, and it was a real, it was a real dig to them and really the horrors that they represent.
How did this terrorist squirm out of being, brought to justice?
All right. Well, excellent question. So she was convicted. She confessed the very next day after this took place, even though she argues to this day that she was tortured for weeks and months, and she only confessed because they were threatening to kill her father. I've actually have seen the transcripts, and she pled guilty, and she admitted her crime within hours in full detail. I mean, just a very abhorrent thing to read. But she served 10 years in an Israel prison. And like always, she was freed in a prisoner swap in 1980. She ended up serving just 10 years. She came to the United States on false pretenses. She lied on her application. And this was about 1994. And in 2014, she was convicted by a court in the U.S. for fraud. And during her appeals process, as well as she eventually was granted a new trial. But what is very interesting for this supposedly innocent woman is that the week before last, to avoid prison time and what was going to be a certain conviction, she pled guilty again and did a plea deal. And at the end of April, she is going to be deported to Jordan. That's the only country where she actually has a passport for.
Well, so, they say in this world we may not see the justice, but in the next world there's a reason for everything. I hope that, though, we can do our job here and repair the world and bring those that are guilty to justice. You wanted to talk very quickly about Hillel and J Street as well.
Yeah, just so I think everyone's aware, I did a really good story, very long-time investigative piece of work that's in the current issue of JNS.org, where I talk about, it's actually J Street's impact on college campuses, especially when they become impactful on the local Hillel. And this is a story about how in Stanford University, the rabbis there were accused by two former students for being not supportive of them. One of them when she was facing anti-Semitism, as well as the other one who had a more apparently very stronger Zionist approach. And there is this whole, the whole story talks about how what's happened on campuses like Stanford, as well as you've seen at schools like Columbia and others, about when Hillel embraces J Street and they work together, that mainstream true Zionist pro-Israel student finds themselves on the outside. And there's less help for them to defend against anti-Semitism. And meanwhile, sadly, J Street and Hillel work together to bring anti-Israel voices, like breaking the silence, to campus.
I want to get off of politics for the last couple of minutes that we're doing this, because we are not going to be speaking next Monday, because you and I both are going to be at a Seder, a Passover
yes.
Seder. So just tell me quickly where you're going to be, tell our listeners, and maybe share one of your fondest memories or funny memories or dramatic memories of Passover.
Well, very quickly, going to be at my brother's in suburban Chicago. The whole mishpucha is going to be there. My mother's making the brisket. My wife is making the kishkin. My oldest son will do the four questions in the Haggadah. And as far as the fond memories goes, I'll tell you this. Our family still uses a Haggadah that's child-friendly, that was provided right before I had my bar mitzvah over 33 years ago by my synagogue growing up. The drawings are all in there. Everything that made it like really kid-friendly, it's all there, and we still use them. My mother saved them. And about a decade or so ago, my wife saved it on computer. So it's like a family heirloom, these wonderful child, you know, these paper childhood Haggadahs that we used, that is just is what we use. And it always brings back just wonderful memories of my youth.
All right. I'm very happy to hear that. Are you going to be having kids at your Seder, at your Passover
Seder?
Are
we still there?
Yeah. You don't hear me? Do you hear me, Paul? Paul? Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, Paul, do you hear me? Okay.
Hello.
So we're having problems with Paul. I'm going to say goodbye to Paul and thank him very much and wish him a happy Passover. Maybe he will hear this on the podcast when we put the show up on the internet. So it is Passover is coming up, and I'm going to be having a very eclectic Seder with guests. The usual family is not going to be by me this year. I know I'm going to have half my family, but I've got two boys in the Army. I've got a daughter who's married, who's this time going to her in-laws rather than staying, because they're always by me, right? So now they have to, like, you know, go to their other in-laws. And so I had a whole bunch of seats open, and so I've had some different guests that I don't usually have, and it's going to be a very interesting Passover Seder. I'm really looking forward to it. Because it's just going to be very, very different than I've ever had, not having so much family and having more guests. You know, usually we have more family and less guests. But in any case, I'm very much looking forward to it. If you have any interesting Passover stories or experiences and you want to call in towards the end of the show, you can do so. And I'd love to hear them, because some of them are so inspiring, and I will even tell them at my Seder table as we're having our meal. So don't be afraid to call in. You can also join me in the chat room. It's the orange button, and you can do so if you're listening live. That means if it's between 8 to 9 p.m. holy time right here in the land of Israel, or if it's between 1 to 2 p.m. New York time, Eastern time, that means that we are live, and you can join us on the show, in the chat room, and our numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. So you can go there and you can join us on the show. When we get back from the break that we're going to be taking now, we're going to be speaking with somebody from the gambling state of Nevada that's got the famous Las Vegas and Sin City there, et cetera, et cetera. And we're going to find out about the righteous people who are living in the gambling state of Nevada. It's not all showgirls and, you know, Chabad house here and there with some religious people, but we're going to be seeing and hearing about a story of the Noahide movement and what's going on there, how it's going to start growing. And I think that that's really interesting, and I think it's very encouraging as well. So if you have any comments or questions about that, you can also call into the show, because we are going to be opening up our lines for that. Again, our numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. At the upper part of the page in the middle, we'd love to have you call in. Don't go anywhere. We are going to be right back here at Israel News Talk Radio, The Tamar Yonah Show.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Bentekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
You might think that the gambling state of Nevada, with its famous Las Vegas Sin City, what goes on in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas, and all the people around there in that state are just, gamblers and things like that, or have something to do with gambling. Well, it's very interesting that we're going to be speaking with somebody now who is actually starting a Noahide movement there. And if you don't know what a Noahide is, I'll actually have him explain it. But it's a very optimistic thing, and I'm really excited to be able to do this segment. Our guest is Daniel Mosbacher. He is living in Carson City, Nevada. He's a Jewish man who is an ordained Talmid Nagid clergyman for the Noahides. We're going to find out what that is as well. It's slow getting the word out, unfortunately, he says. So he made some flyers and put them up on billboards. Daniel is convinced that there will be a Noahide explosion once the word gets out. And he's doing it for free. He writes that he believes that the truth should be given out for free, and he hopes that people take that truth and live better lives. So welcome to the show, Daniel Mosbacher.
Thank you.
Okay, did I say your last name right, Mosbacher?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so first of all, tell our listeners what is exactly a Noahide, for those who are not familiar with that term, and then tell us what an ordained Talmid Nagid clergyman of the Noahides is.
Okay. Noahides are people that live by the seven Noahide laws that God gave to Adam and Eve, and orally, and there's seven of them. And so they were transmitted down from Adam to Noah, Shem, and Abraham, all the patriarchs. It was all orally given, so everybody knew of the seven Noahide laws.
Okay, why don't you give a brief example of the seven Noahide laws, like, not to murder and not to steal, mm-hmm. etc.
Okay, the prohibition against worshiping false gods, the prohibition against cursing God's name, the prohibition against murder, the prohibition against specific forbidden sexual relations, the prohibition against theft, the commandment to establish laws and courts of justice.
Right. Which is very important, because I just want us to say this here, that if a person cannot get justice, if somebody stronger than them beats them up, steals from them, rapes their women, whatever, or rapes you and your whatever it is, mm-hmm. and you can't go to a court because it's just, the strength wins, right? Then it's a horrible world to live in. So in order to have a just society, you have got to have just laws, and you have to have courts and judges that are honest and that can mete out justice. Okay, so saying that, tell us now, what is an ordained Talmid Nagid clergyman?
All right. I went through the Noahide Nations with Ray Patterson and Rabbi Abraham Blumenstiel, And it's an online course that I took, and it took over a year. And so I got the certificate of the credential. And so it states that I'm an ordained Nagi clergy, and I can, it says here, with the responsibilities, rights, privileges, and benefits granted biblically and legally, and hereby authorized to teach, perform holy matrimony, perform funerals, and other biblical and religious activities as it pertains to the practice of Noahism as expressed in the Torah. So I have the certificate.
Interesting. Okay, and I just want to just to go over this again. You are Jewish yourself.
Yes, my wife is Jewish, and you know, and so I don't know. I feel like that we're the only ones here in Carson City.
Okay,
the only Jewish people.
The only Jewish people. Okay, now you wrote me that you put out flyers in order to get the word out. What did your flyers say?
Basically, I put up the name of it. It's the Northern Nevada Noahide Community. And I stated yearning for a direct connection to God, ? Wondering what God has for your eternal life. And then stating that we'll be doing the biblical studies and of the seven Noahide laws. And so basically that, letting people know what I have to offer here. I'm going to be doing it out of my home for free. Just going to be like an outpost.
And what's been the response to these flyers that you've put out?
I haven't heard anything back.
Anything back?
No. I got...
Maybe there aren't that many righteous people in Nevada.
I know. I feel like, okay, I'm like Noah, you know, before the flood comes. You know, I feel like that. And so I got to keep doing it until I reach somebody to give this information to.
Okay, well, you have neighbors. You have people that you work with. Have you been able to speak with them about this and get them interested? Or there's no interest or what?
They just don't understand. Yes, I have a dog park that I go to every day with my dogs, and I try to talk to people. But mainly, everybody here is a Christian. And when I present this to them, they look at me weird, and they go, oh, this is weird. And so it's going to be kind of an uphill battle.
Okay, so you're in a place that is actually a spiritual place, in the sense of people there do believe in God, but they're of the Christian religion? Or is
yes.
it? Okay, so you're not living in a place that's very secular and people are not interested in God at all?
No, mainly they're Christians here.
Interesting. Okay. And are you working with other people that are doing this as well, so you get hints from them, ideas, their experiences?
Yes, I have a man that calls me. He's from New York. He's a rabbi. His name's Walter. And he's been really helping me a lot. And also with the program I went through with Ray Patterson. I have all these contacts that I can make, and, you know, they help me out.
And what got you interested? Why do you want to do this? I mean, there's so many other things you can do with your time. You can be watching television and drinking a beer, which a lot of people in America do.
Yeah.
And you can be going out golfing, and you can be, you know, going out. I don't know. I mean, there's so many hobbies you could be doing. Why are you doing this?
Well, I have a strong yearning in my soul to help people have a connection with God like I do. And I just want to help people live a better life and be free of being unhappy and things that are entangling people in their lives.
Well, how do you how do you explain then? I mean, what value do you believe you can give to people who, if they're religious Christians, then I would imagine that they're already trying not to steal and not to murder and having courts of law. You know, that's what the United States already have. So what do you have to offer them? I mean, I think that's where you have to.
I do talk to them, and I'll talk to them about what I have to offer, what the information I have, you know, a direct connection to God, to, you know, you don't have to go through a middleman. It's in the Torah for them. And, you know, and
can I ask how old you are, Daniel?
I just turned 53.
You just turned 53. You sound like you're 18.
Well, I came down with a cold. So
interesting. And now tell me, what does your wife say about all of this? Is she, like, you know, in this with you, or is she thinking, oh, this is his thing, let him do it?
Yeah, that's it. This is his thing, let him do it. She just looks at me and goes, okay, go have fun.
Okay, that's kind of funny, because, you know, if you do find people who are interested and that you bring them to your house, your wife's going to be there. I'm just wondering how she's going to deal with that. So interesting.
She's at work, and I'm disabled, so I'm home all the time. So that's why I'm doing this too.
I see. And so when you sent out these flyers and you're disabled, how did you do that?
Oh, I mean, I can walk, but I'm just in a lot of pain, so I can't do a lot of other things long term. So I just drive to the stores and put up the flyers. And I did run an ad in the newspaper one time, and I got some weird calls.
Okay, kind of sounds like this interview. I have to say, this is a unique one for me. All right, listen, I want to wish you the best of luck. If something does develop with this, then I invite you to get back in contact with me again. And if there's anything, you know, worthy, then we'll put you on the air. Okay, Daniel?
Oh, well, thank you very much for having me on.
Thanks for contacting me. It was very interesting what you were doing. And I learned something as well. I think that you've got to kind of like get an angle on what you can give them of value that's going to get them interested in these things. But kol hakavod, all the respect to you. Thank you, Daniel, for trying to be a really good person and doing repair in this world.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
All right. Be well. Bye-bye. All right. When we get back, I'm going to be opening up the phone lines. You can call in about any topic you want to discuss, especially if you have a Passover story. That would be fun to do as well. So feel free to call in to the show and speak with me. Our numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com at the top of the page. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the new Beyond the Matrix, bringing you answers for life and faith with Ira Michelson and Rod Bryant. If you listen in, it's because you decided to unplug and join the real world.
You will not find anyone controlling things from behind the curtain here. No need to click your heels three times. Often imitated, never duplicated. We are Beyond the Matrix. Join us at our new time every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Israel time, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here for Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. I would love for you to call in. We are live if you're listening between 8 to 9 p.m. Israel time, or if it's between 1 to 2 p.m. New York time, that means that we are live and you can call into the show. Our numbers are on the top of our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Share with me any Passover story that you have that was memorable to you or made a big impression on you or something that you heard or any other topic that you want to talk about. In the meantime, while I'm waiting for your call, and I hope that you will, because I know you're listening, you know, let me just go again over to where you're listening from. I see here in France and Germany and the United States and Israel, of course, and Canada and Australia. It's nice to see all of you here. So I wanted to talk about Aliyah. Aliyah means literally in Hebrew to go up, because when a Jew comes to live in the land of Israel, he is spiritually going up. And it is so important that Jews be here in the land of Israel. First of all, this is what God wants us to do. He took us out of Egypt. This is the holiday of Passover, right? He took us out of Egypt. He made the biggest miracles that the world has ever seen. Since then, nothing else has been so miraculous with nature that God has done. In order to what? Why did he bring us to the land of Israel? He took us out of slavery, not just to free us, because if he did that, then he would say, you're free, go. And we would just scatter all over the world and that would be it. But instead, he brought us into the promised land, the land of Israel, because this is where we are to be as a nation and to do the mitzvot, the commandments that are in the Torah, and thus to be a light unto the nations. And you can see already today with Israel, the modern state of Israel, and all of the wonderful things that are being produced here, the discoveries in medicine and in science and in agriculture that turn the desert into green, that helps people with emergencies natural disasters. When Iran had a natural disaster with, I think it was an earthquake, we wanted to send people out there to help. Unfortunately, Iran hates us so much, they would rather have their own people die than have Israelis come and help. And so they denied us coming. But in Haiti, when they had their natural disaster, their earthquake there, we were one of the first places out there. We put up a field hospital. It was so amazing. Even the American news networks were just in awe of what Israel was able to do. People were naming their babies that they were having in that hospital there Israel. They named their babies Israel to remember how Israel had helped them give birth and through terrible, terrible times over there. So Israel is a light unto the nations. But in order for the Jewish people to really to grow in the fertile soil of Israel, to really bloom, they've got to be here in this soil here. There are many Jews scattered around the world still, and we need you home here. I want to say something to the naysayers who say, oh, I can't make it in Israel. It's so hard there. The government is like this, and I don't like the government, and the economy is a little bit harder, and you know, I can't have two cars, and where the apartments there are so small, where am I going to put my dining room table and chairs? I mean, I've heard all the excuses, you know, oh, I don't know Hebrew, so I can't come. I want to share with you something that I spoke about the other day. I think it was on my yesterday's show, where there was a video on my Facebook page. Just look for Tamar Yonah. It's the public page there, my public page. And I have a video there of an Ethiopian Jew who made Aliyah from Ethiopia. And it is so inspiring. It's 4 minutes and something seconds. You can watch it. You should take the 4 minutes out of your life and watch this, because it's very inspiring. He talks about how they left Ethiopia on foot. On foot. They didn't have food and water, very little of it. They walked, I think he said, 700 or 800 kilometers. They were robbed in the desert by desert thieves. They were caught in Sudan and put into prison there because they said they were infiltrators, until they were able to prove that they were not infiltrators. They were refugees. They were then taken to another camp in Sudan in the north, where the Israelis found them or took them to, and then brought them in a plane to the land of Israel. This man in the video was saying that the Israeli that he met there that told them, come, we're going to be taking you to the Holy Land, to the land of Israel. It was only the second white person he had ever seen in his life. This is how remote they were. and how they had nothing. They came by foot. So, and he says he came barefoot. They didn't even have shoes. They sold everything. What was everything? They had a cow that they sold for $2. And the cow for $2 was a lot of money where they were. But they finally got to the land of Israel. And he said it was such a culture shock. I mean, remember, he hasn't even seen white men barely. And forget about all the modernities that we have. I remember when the magic, I think was it Magic Carpet, or what was the name of the operation where we brought the Ethiopians over? But in any case, they didn't even know how to use a toilet. One of the women was washing dishes in it. She thought it was like whatever. And another woman that was in the absorption center, when they showed her where the kitchen sink was and that she can wash her dishes there, and they put the water on to show her, and then they turned it off. She ran to put it on again. And they said, no, you don't need the water now, only when you wash dishes. And they turned it off. And she kept putting it on, and they didn't understand what was wrong with her. And then they realized from one of the other Ethiopians that she would have to walk so far to the well to get water. And when she saw water just coming out of the faucet, she didn't want it to stop. And we're talking about these types of people who had nothing, and they came. And guess what? This is the reason why I'm telling you this. Because they came with nothing, and yet they made it here. They didn't speak English. You know, if you come from America and you speak English, of course, you've already got something over a lot of people, that you speak an international language. You can tutor English here. You can get jobs. A lot of jobs in Israel, they don't even want you if you can't speak English, if you're working in tourism and all sorts of other things. And you have possessions. Maybe you have a car you can sell. If you're really lucky or blessed, you have a house or an apartment that you can sell and come with money. So A, you're coming with English to Israel. B, you are coming with shoes on your feet. C, you are coming with an education, because undoubtedly you have at least a high school education if you grew up in America. And you are coming with possessions, and or you've sold them, and you're coming with a little bit of pocket money. These people came without even shoes on their feet, no formal education, so to speak, no English, and yet they made it here in Israel. You see Ethiopian IDF soldiers, you see Ethiopian people working all around. We have Ethiopians in our Knesset, lawyers, doctors, whatever. So if they can make it, our Jewish brothers from there and from Yemen, who came also barefoot, didn't know how to use modern equipment, didn't speak English, weren't able to bring anything with them but the clothes on their back. If they can make it here, so can you. Now, it may not be on the standard that you are used to, but we are not here to gather the most toys. You know, I remember a bumper sticker that said, the one with the most toys when he dies wins. And it was such a true statement of the opposite, that we're not here in order to collect and get the most amount of money and have a lot of money and have a nicer house and a nicer vacation and a nicer this. We are here in this world to do God's will, to serve God, to be kind, to be good, to do tikkun, which is to repair the world, to make the world a better place, to leave this world better than when we were born into it, to have contributed to our fellow man, to have helped, to have made life better, to be kind, to do all of these things. It's not about who has more money. It's not about your car. It's about the driver in the car, you. And God wants us here to be a light to the nations, because Jews in Israel bring strength and blessing to the rest of the country, and the rest of the country brings blessing and strength to the world. Even in the Bible, it says, those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. Iran, people died in an earthquake because they cursed us. They didn't want us to come. And they had more people who died. Countries that bless us and want to learn and want to be able to enjoy the inventions that we've made. Look at your cell phones and all sorts of things that we, you know, ways you never get lost again, pretty much. I mean, all these wonderful things in technology, agriculture, water desalinization, how much the world needs water, all of these wonderful things Israel's doing. And the more Jews who come here, the better it will be. And the better it will be for you as well. I think of so many Jews who've stayed in the United States and their children grow up and they marry out and that's the end. Their children are not Jewish anymore. And Judaism means nothing and they're lost. Even people in my own family, distant cousins, just assimilated. They're Jewish no more. It's so sad. Come and be a Jew. Come and fulfill your potential. You can write your comments on our webpage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com where this show is podcasted. And I want to thank you all for being with me. I will be here tomorrow as well about conversion to Judaism. If you're looking to convert, you're going to want to hear the show. And if you're not looking to convert, then you want to be a Noahide. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for being with us.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.